You ever wonder about the people in family photos or ever try to ask who these people really were? Every face is a narrow escape or a love story that almost didn't happen. Your family stories are hidden in plain view. You just haven't accessed it yet. There are versions of these rebels and dreamers before life told them who they needed to be. And I'm not talking about the shiny stories everyone knows. I'm talking about the soul-crushing experiences with heartbreaks and real loss. You gotta preserve these stories now. So contact thevietnamstorybank.com today. No polish, just raw, recorded, beautiful history that makes you sit up and hold your breath. We dig it all up, record it, and hand it back to you. Safe, unerased, untouchable, and unforgettable. Don't let silence have the last word. Go to vietnamstorybank.com today. Make sure your family's stories are recorded. Welcome to the Vietnamese podcast. I have a very special edition today. We have three guests. I want to start my introduction with Brittany Tran. Brittany has been with the Vietnamese podcast in so many, wearing so many different hats from day one of my journey. Brittany is the founder of Real Citrus, a film distribution company, and she is putting together a wonderful event called Stories We Carry, bringing Duzan's film to New York. But the big thing is having an event at Columbia University this coming March 17th, I believe, or 16th, March 16th, which is the Monday. And you can find a lot of that on Real Citrus or on the Vietnamese podcast Instagram. Then we have Hien. Hien is a singer from Hungary who's been on the podcast before. And, you know, welcome back to this podcast. Hien is going to be one of the guests, special guests that we have on the day that we have the March 16th event at Columbia. And our guest, Duzan Zung, is a film director from Poland who directed a movie called...
Poland! Czech Republic.
Oh my God.
No, it's fine.
Should we redo?
No.
Oh, no, Europe is big.
I messed up. We don't edit. Yeah, that everybody. Yeah,
we don't edit.
To be honest, I keep mistaking those two countries as well. Even though I have friends from both places.
Thank you for doing that. I mean, this is real. We keep it real here. We're not going to edit from the Czech. You told me not to even call it Czech Republic, right? Or... You said no, not Czechoslovakia.
Czechia. You can call Czechia or Czech Republic. You know, we are a very small country, so it's easily to be mistaken. But we are going to make big stuff in Czechia. Yeah.
Yes.
And y'all have the best Vietnamese market in Europe.
So we do.
So Duzan is coming to Washington, D.C. and New York to show the film, all done through Brittany's Real Citrus. So welcome to this edition of this podcast. Brittany, have at it.
Oh, man, putting me on the spot. Thank you so much, Ken, for bringing us all together. This is really exciting. I want to first start off by just kind of sharing a little bit about the plans and what we want to do and the difference between DC and New York and all of that, but keeping it short. So really, this was all put together by the Czech Embassy. They've been so supportive, and they're the ones that is bringing Duzan to the States. Under Citrus, our plan, we're still in the works of like figuring out distribution. Our big plan is that we are going to take Duzan's film, Summer School 2001, through theatrical distribution this summer. And so our goal throughout from this time till then is to raise awareness, but also to raise money and investment so that way we have the P&L to distribute the film to theaters. During this time, the Czech Embassy jumped in. They're like, hey, we want to bring Duzan in. We can take care of all of the theatrical booking, the hotel, the logistics, everything. And so they are covering DC portion and New York portion. So when we heard of that, especially as a startup and as a new team, we're like, let's hop on this opportunity. Let's gather the community together. And how can we do something that is one, impactful, two, brings out the Vietnamese community to meet and greet Duzan during this time, but also ultimately gain more awareness to our ultimate goal of bringing this to theater in the summer. And so that's how we came, to put together Stories We Carry. And then Ken jumped in. He said, hey, how can I help? which he always does. And that's where we are now. Stories We Carry is put together by Columbia University with adjunct professor and filmmaker Tony Bui, myself, and Ken. And when we sat down, the first panelist we had was Dujon. From there, Dujon said, hey, can we have a ticket for this person that I met on Instagram named Hian? And we're like, yeah, of course. And the funny story is, I have discovered Hyun's music on Instagram a while back and love her sound so much. And so it was such a nice surprise to be connected to you, Hian. And then, you know, bringing it back home, we wanted to make sure that this event really highlighted not just the film itself, but the importance and the value of bringing stories like this and the diaspora and the community. I think there are so many organizations across the East Coast, the West Coast, all sorts of places, and now overseas, right, in Europe, that is bringing together Vietnamese people. And so this all came together, and we were able to bring on Hian, Kevin Nguyen, and also Dustin. So that brings us back home to this conversation. And I really want to be able to sit on this call, get to know a little bit more about Hian, but also European Vietnamese, which I know nothing about aside from the film. And so, yeah, thank you so much, Ken, for having all of us, and Hian and Dujon for being here.
Wonderful. Like we talked about, thank you, Brittany, for that. Brittany's Citrus is a film distribution platform, among many other things in the future. I think that she's going to bring a lot more things to the Vietnamese culture in our diaspora. I bring the podcast episodes and bring the whole Vietnamese global diaspora to the world. And that being all said, today we are distribution platforms that are, we want to talk about the European Vietnamese that exists in the world, the creatives that come out of the European Vietnamese or Vietnamese European. So Hian, let's start with you. Talk a little bit about your journey and how you got started.
So I was born in Budapest, Hungary, and I moved to the U.S. In 2015 for school. I studied in Boston, and then after I graduated, I moved to New York, and ever since then, I'm here. I found my little chosen family here, and I love to, you know, be a creative here. Yeah, I think it's so important for us to keep our stories alive. And when I saw Dujon's film, I was so excited because literally every time we get together with my Hungarian friends in the past years, we always dreamed about having like a movie that could tell our parents' story because it just hasn't been done. I feel like most of the movies and books are coming from the Viet Americans and Viet French when it comes to our diaspora. And we love those, but we always dreamt about having our own. And I think even though I haven't seen the movie, but I feel like it's going to tell a little bit our stories to Viet Hungarians.
Dujon, let's talk about how you got to the scene.
Oh, how I got to this call.
No, actually, you got into the creative work from
I'm kidding. So I started as a dancer. So I danced my way to filmmaking. And yeah, I did, you know, the usual Asian stuff like popping, street dance, all sorts of stuff, so I can do a wave with my, you know, body and stuff.
Brittany, and you have him scheduled for a dance before we kick off the event, right? Like he's going to do a dance?
You know, I go to New York often, but I feel like he and if we can put together a pre-party, an after-party, some sort of party where there's a dance and singing element.
Can we please? I would love that.
That would be
fun. Yeah.
I would love that. Yeah.
Actually, when I was a dancer, I always dreamt of, you know, dancing in New York because it's where it started. And that would make this circle like whole. And after realizing that I cannot find a job, like a proper job in Czech Republic, I just bought a camera and I started doing, you know, wedding for Vietnamese people. And from that, I just kept going on. And here I am, like after like maybe 12 years already of filmmaking. I'm presenting my first feature film, which is Surreal.
Brittany, I want to ask you, why did you decide to pick up Duzan's film?
Great question. I heard about Duzan's film actually through a good friend of ours, Anderson Lee, when we went to an event. And he said, hey, have you seen Summer School? I said, no. And he said, well, you should watch it. And I think it's going to be showing soon. And then fast forward, I reached out to Viet Film Fest because, you know, as a new company, I wanted to support film festivals, especially Vietnamese film festivals. So we reached out to Isa, and Isa highlighted Duzan's film as something that I should watch. I was like, okay, I'm hearing this from two very, like, you know, industry people that I look up to. And before I even watched the film, I had to do research. So a lot of our work through Citrus is doing research to write the editorial, to kind of like really highlight the value and importance, all these themes, right? And as I was putting together all of the elements for Summer School, the visuals were beautiful, firstly. And then I got to meet Duzan. He's a quirky-ass dude. You know, he's hilarious. And so I decided, you know, why don't we meet in person? And when he arrived in Orange County, frazzled European Vietnamese dude landed in Orange County as his first place in the U.S. And I took him to Pho 79 in Orange County. Yeah. And we hit it off. You know, personality was great, funny, didn't take himself too seriously, just an overall good guy. And then when I watched the film, my daughter was sitting next to me and my husband, you know, right behind me. We loved the film. My daughter was like watching it after the film. She was kind of still talking about it. And that's when it hit it home for me. We have to do something with this film. And so that's how I discovered Summer School.
Wow.
And then you had the misfortune of making me sit with Duzan in a Motel 6. That was a fun.
I see something or I like meet someone. I'm like, there's something there. Like we gotta make it work, you know? And he was only in Orange County for such a short period of time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to optimize that time. And really have you there to meet him and to like be my sound and my microphone for what we had planned.
No, it was awesome. You know, Hien, I want to ask you, what do you think you bring from Europe into your sound? And Duzan, that goes for you too. Like, what's the difference between like, is there a difference between like a Vietnamese American or a Vietnamese European in the creative work that you both do?
Definitely. I mean, we just have a different, so much shared experience, but also different experiences and different perspectives. I think that growing up in Hungary definitely made a huge effect on the music I consumed. You know, I'm deeply inspired by Hungarian traditional music, just as Vietnamese traditional music. And I love to play with those and try to recontextualize it in my own little sound world. And I just feel like a lot of places where I meet Vietnamese people and I tell them that I'm from Hungary, they're like, what? There are Hungarians who speak Hungarian? And I'm like, yeah, like, my accent, like I speak English well, but my accent is actually Hungarian, which is usually really interesting to people. And, you know, sometimes I meet Eastern Europeans and they're like, wait, like, it's interesting. You have an accent, like you are obviously like Asian, but you don't have an Asian accent. What is this accent that you have? And I'm like, it's Hungarian.
Can I ask a question like for everyone that's listening and for myself? Like I spent some time in Vietnam and meeting Vietnamese Europeans was probably one of the highlights of my time there. From Vietnamese French, Vietnamese like from Sweden, Switzerland, all sorts of things. For the people who don't know listening, can you both share just one geographically the difference between you two, and then two, the Vietnamese diaspora of like how that all looks and feels, and like kind of bringing that to life a little bit more. Because I think we're making the assumption that everyone knows, but
yeah. So actually, Hungary and Czech Republic is, we are like neighbors almost, really, and we are like labeled as Eastern Europeans. But Hungarian language is really crazy for me because it's even the writing and everything, it's really hard for me to, you know, to understand anything, but it's logical. But back to your question first, Ken. When I first came to Viet Film Fest and I saw like 5 films, and like 4 out of 5 films were about American war with Vietnam, then I realized that this is the big difference between us Europeans and you Americans, because we are basically from the north and you are from the south, and you've been living in the States for like more generations than us, because we came in like 80s and you've been living there since the war. So I have a feeling that this is like something that we can bridge, can like connect more.
Yeah.
Ken, are you also Northern Vietnamese?
Sorry?
So my parents are from the north, even though my grandfather is from the south. Yeah, so like my grandparents, on my mom's side, they were Cai Lương musicians, and Cai Lương is from the south. So my grandpa actually was born in Bac Liêu, which is the most southern part of Vietnam. But yeah, so I have like relatives in both places, but like my accent in Vietnamese, I have northern accent, for example. Mm.
And for those who don't know, the reason why so many northern Vietnamese are in Europe is because, you know, some exchange program through government, like Communist Vietnam and Communist Europe, they just wanted to have, you know, some exchange, and they sent some workers. So there is a lot of Vietnamese in Germany and Czech Republic.
And Poland.
Poland so
after,
too.
After the collapse of the Soviet Union, right? That was a big wave of the migration.
So many powerful Vietnamese coming from Poland that you know, I think the founder of the Vingroup is from Poland, and a number of other big business guys come from the Vietnamese diaspora from Poland. It's a really weird thing, Eastern Europeans coming from Vietnamese from that area.
I mean, honestly, one of my highlights in America was meeting the Viet American community. I think one of the main reasons I really wanted to stay in New York, because I found some of my chosen family through the Vietnamese communities. And we started these events called Vui Vẻ Fest here in Brooklyn. And we had people from the Vietnamese diaspora from everywhere. Like we had Viet Americans, Viet Australians, Viet Russians, like Viet Europeans and mainlander Vietnamese coming out to this event, enjoying music and food. Mm-hmm. And it was just so beautiful to learn, to get to know these people and learn different stories and perspectives.
Yeah. To be honest, when I was growing up, I was so ashamed of being Vietnamese, you know. I wanted to be this tall, white-haired guy, blonde, and wanted to be, you know, I wanted to fit. But right now, I think most of the Czech people are like envious of me because I have this depth, this, you know, this trauma. And I can go to the States, and you know, it doesn't happen to every filmmaker in Czech Republic.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's true. All the pain that we have, all the trauma is now like a badge of honor that we all get to wear.
Yeah, like yeah. For instance, when I met you, Ken, we met like 3 times barely. And I just felt connected immediately because, you know, you're Vietnamese, even though you're American, I felt something.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing too is less about like war trauma, but displacement trauma of just being from somewhere and then you're just like displaced, put somewhere else. And then you find people who look like you. And then in the way that, you know, watching Summer School, it's not too different. you know, our stories and our relationship with our parents, the arguments, our siblings, like all of it. It's not too different.
Yeah.
When you all think about the creative process, does being Vietnamese influence that process, or do you create just from a beautiful place or a painful place, whatever that is, not related to the Vietnamese process, not related to the Vietnamese perspective?
For me, being Vietnamese is a huge part of my artistic identity as well. Growing up, similarly to Doosan, I think that I try to not hide more of this side of myself, but I definitely didn't know that much of my roots and my Vietnamese side because it wasn't encouraged that much, I think. And, you know, we tried to fit in and all of those things. I think that once I came to the States and I found, you know, more communities, more diverse communities through music, that's when I really started to learn more and wanting to learn more about my roots and Vietnamese music. And I realized how beautiful that journey is. And then, you know, meeting the diaspora communities came next. And honestly, like, what I'm really grateful is that I get so, like, such a great support from the Vietnamese diaspora communities everywhere. Like, I just feel that, of course, in Hungary or like through just music, I found beautiful communities that I felt loved and supported. But my OG, like real supporters are always the Vietnamese communities.
Yeah. So I always wanted to make different film than Vietnamese film, you know, but always it always got me. So I always made a film about my, you know, people, my community, about myself. And I'm hoping that I can be something more than just a Vietnamese person doing Vietnamese stories. But then I remember that, you know, this word, representation. And I learned that in the States, that so many Vietnamese are like calling for this representation and they are so hungry. So who I am to tell them that I will not be like casting more Vietnamese people. I can make the stories more universal or the topics, but I will be using Vietnamese people like maybe always, but not in a way that I'm looking for the roots and stuff, but more like if I was to choose a white person or a Vietnamese person, my heart will always go to the Vietnamese people.
Especially when you try to tell a Vietnamese story, right? Like, I think that it's just in the past decades, we just heard so much more about the American, like white American perspective when it comes to not just Vietnamese stories, but Asian stories. And I think now I'm glad that the balance, you know, it's starting to become a little bit more balanced, that we hear our people's voice more and it's more, can put them forward.
You know, what's exciting is Brittany and I, back in October, we went to a concert at the Dolby Theater, which is where they have the Oscars. And we got to watch a performance by a singer named Ha Anh Tuấn. And this person is somebody that Brittany and I don't know if you heard about it, Brittany, but I didn't hear about who that person was before. And Doosan, I know you and I met in Vietnam just recently together. We have such a strong...
Yeah, we did.
Wow. We did.
Hang out in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing is, we have such strong cultural ties to Vietnam. Every time we go back, we realize like, oh my God, there's like these cool things going on. How much, I want to ask all of you, how much does Vietnam and what goes on in Vietnam, how much are you guys paying attention to that? And how much does that influence the work, the motivation, the encouragement, all of it in your spirit and your soul?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I'm honestly so motivated, but also intimidated at the same time. Oh, wow. Because the pace Vietnam is growing and developing, especially what I'm seeing in the entertainment industry, is mind blowing. Like it's insane. I love to connect and work with Vietnamese creatives because every time I work with them, I'm so inspired. Like that type of dedication and hard work is like, there's so much to learn from them. And I'm just so glad that now the West globally, I think that start to like learn more about from the East, because before that it was just like mostly the East was watching what the West was doing. But I think that now definitely it's really clear that the East is developing so much and there's so much learn from that side. So yeah, I'm so glad to witness this and I'm so happy that we can be a little bit part of it too.
Yeah, I think Vietnam is moving so fast. You and I met in Vietnam, Ken, both being from the States. And I think culturally for a long time, the Vietnamese identity I felt like was, as a Vietnamese person, it was our stories from the outside in, meaning we were being told, I was being told who I was as a Vietnamese person from people outside of my community. This is who you are. This is where you exist. This is your story. And in living and being in Vietnam and now working with a lot of Vietnamese people, both on the business side, but also on the creative side, we're able to kind of redefine that story for ourselves. So I see a lot of, and Vietnam is very young in terms of the creative community, the entertainment, like everyone, just the population. And so while there's still a lot to be worked on, right? There's a lot of entertainment framework, films, movies, music. There's still a lot of things that needs to develop. But I think in terms of the people themselves, the young population themselves are hustlers in every version of that term, and creatively hustling, meaning they are developing, taking in from society, from culture, from everyone, and then redefining that and recreating it for themselves in such a fast pace. Like just looking at fashion alone, like fashion Vietnam, people are looking inwards now into Vietnam of like, what are Vietnamese people doing? Designers and streetwear and high fashion and boutiques. People are flying in to go to Vietnamese shops, which like when I was there, that was unheard of, you know? Absolutely. So I think it's just moving so fast. And for me, it's a majority of my inspiration. I still very much hire creative people in Vietnam. I work with clients from Vietnam. So yeah, it's a huge part of my work.
From my perspective, I see a lot of potential, you know, because Czech Republic, it has only 10 million people. But Vietnam, man, it's 100 million. It's so much bigger, you know, the market. So it makes me try harder so that I can match with the guys in Vietnam so that I can, you know, compete with them. And I see it as a competition.
Also, I think I read somewhere that I don't know if 75 or 80%, like a big chunk of the population in Vietnam is under the age 30, which is like I can't even comprehend that. Like everybody's younger than me. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good at making babies.
Yep.
You know, but China has this big problem that they don't have babies. So Vietnam is really like on the rise.
You know, Dujan, I thought that too, but I heard that we are actually experiencing a slowdown in our population. It's happening because everybody wants to save money. Everybody wants to make more money. Everybody doesn't want to spend. And, you know, I think that the pressure of having babies and worrying about the future and wars and all that, it's like it's making people not have babies, even in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are probably good at making babies, but I don't know if we're making babies.
Wow.
I mean, Dujan kind of sparks these interesting
conversations. Yeah, sorry.
I told you he was quirky.
I cannot speak so long like Brittany or Ken or Hien, so I'm just, you know, giving out ideas.
One thing I do One thing I do want to ask you guys, because people like me and Brittany, we deal with a different sort of problem when it comes to being from the South and this idea of different flags. But you guys don't have to deal with that because your flag is the same flag that you, right? And I didn't think about that until this conversation. I would love to hear your thoughts on the integration of what is quote unquote the flag that you grew up with, but the Vietnamese flag, and then coming to the United States and seeing that there is this difference in the culture. Does that even register on your radar at all? Does it? And Brittany, I want to hear you talk about how that, if that even affects your work and distribution, bringing in different considerations when you have films from coming from Vietnam. So I want to hear this idea of the different sides of it coming from three different perspectives.
Yeah, I have just a quick question on that. I didn't even kind of think about that. But so in Europe, for you both growing up, the Vietnamese flag or the Vietnam flag is the one that we have now in Vietnam?
The red flag.
Yeah. So you were not even exposed to the Southern Vietnamese flags at all.
I was so ignorant that I realized that we have two flags until I was in the States and somebody told me, you know.
Until you went to Orange County.
Yeah, exactly.
Flag.
Like, what? So you didn't have two flags? I didn't know,
wow.
Man.
Wow.
I always thought that, you know, the red flag with the yellow star is the only star. One ever. I didn't know. But I'm also ignorant.
Isn't that mind-blowing, Brittany? I just figured that out right now because I realized that their parents are from the North and then they got sent over to either go to school or worker, like labor. So it's all red. It's all the same flag as, you know, after 75, all their parents.
Yeah.
And our parents.
Well, I'm from Hue, but, you know, we're considered after the line. So we're from the South and grew up, like, with my dad being a POW with the yellow flag and three red stripes. But I also lived in Vietnam for some time. And so I kind of like, you know, was told right away, like, that's not our flag in Vietnam. And so had to quickly learn that.
Wow.
Yeah, I would love to hear your interpretation of what that's like. I didn't even know that you didn't know that until 6 months ago, Dujon.
Yeah. You know, I'm learning all my life, and this has been like one big, trip to Vietnam, like the solo Vietnamese person. And, you know, you guys helped me a lot because, you know, I didn't know that in California is so many Vietnamese people. It's like the same when I told them I'm from Czech Republic and we have a big community. And every American was like, Vietnamese American. What? You have a big community? So I was like you, but like opposite.
Mm.
Yeah, for however you landed right in Orange County, deep in Orange County, a little tall Orange County. So we tried to take him to LA, but that didn't happen. So there is not too different. But to go back to your question, Ken, I just have an example of my work and it does, not that it affects it, but we have to be very mindful because what that mindfulness is less about politics, but more about respect for our elders. For at least for me, in being a Vietnamese American, in that our elders lived this experience, right? They lived the Southern Vietnamese experience, the displacement, the war, the immigration, all of that. And so for my dad as a POW, and for my dad and my respect for him, I understand why there is still a need for the old South flag. But I also understand that the world today in Vietnam, where it is today, is not that flag. And so in my work, I have to be mindful of when we distribute films from Vietnam to the U.S., we have to remove those flags. We just don't feature a flag. We feature language instead. We feature.
To be honest, I love that. I don't like flags. I don't like flags. I don't like when something could become too like nationalist.
Yeah.
Even though I love to acknowledge and hear stories on the war because I feel like we need to learn as much as we can of our past to make sure that we try our best not to repeat those mistakes. But yeah, I mean, I, you know, when I learned about the Southern Vietnamese experiences from like refugee descendants, especially the Vietnamese boat people, I learned so much of that side that I didn't get to hear much from my parents. And I think that's, you know, just as equally important that we acknowledge all experiences and we learn, you know, both. I don't want to say both sides because I don't think it's like a two-side thing. It's more like displaced people versus that higher power or like, you know, that oppressor. But yeah, it is important to be really careful and mindful with these things, and because our elders and ancestors
experienced it, they lived it. And I 100% agree, because my version of that is that we are not our government. We are not our flags. We're not, you know, we are also our own people. And I think it's important to understand the past, but also to live in the present and be present and just to get to know each other. And so when we do the distribution of Vietnamese films here, and if it features a flag or all these things, we remove it not to be political, but we remove it so that way the story, it comes through.
Yeah. Like, I can imagine that your audience wouldn't come to the film if they saw the red flag.
Yeah, and not all. I think the younger audience are more open and learning for themselves. But I think, yeah, definitely there are hubs that we can pretty much rely on not showing up if that happened.
But I got a funny story that happened just last Sunday. So I was invited to a Vietnam embassy dinner. This last Sunday, it was a Tet party. You show up and there's 50 tables, 10 people each, 500 people. It was packed. It was at the Anaheim Marriott, right in the middle of the convention center in Anaheim, right in the heart of Orange County, where all the, you walk in and big stage, there's a big red flag with a yellow star. Brit, I was blown away.
Were you scared?
I was a little scared. You know, I was a little bit trepidatious about like what, like, but I heard this is like the fifth year that they've done this, and no. And I've seen members of the community that I know, like Vietnamese American leaders inside that hall sitting at that dinner. And I was like, but most of the people I didn't recognize, because usually you go to an event like that, for me, I'll recognize, I don't know, maybe 10, 20 people that are in the Vietnamese American leadership space. I only saw like two or three, but I was even blown away to see those people there. I was like, wow, this takes a lot of, there's a lot of change that's happening that you're like, and then, you know, the council, general council of Vietnam comes up and gives his speech, and, you know, it's, I'm like, all right, we are here. We are now 2026 and that flag has arrived right in the heart. And there's no protest.
I think that it's good for business to be on good terms with our homeland, you know, because if you want to make business, you don't talk about politics in Vietnam.
I think a lot of people are changing, you know, doing more business, Vietnam doing more business, and we're accepting it more. It's happening a lot more. It's happening in a very underground way. Like, I'm a part of a board in a business board in Oregon that actually invited me to that dinner. And the business community in DC, New York, Portland, San Diego are all cool with this stuff. But we in Little Saigon is the last bastion of that.
Well, I think that all ties it back over to, I think, why this conversation is important, because business follows culture. And culture is derivative of the arts. And so that's why we need Hien and Dujon and people like you guys to create and to develop from your roots and from your culture and from your experiences. And so that way, more of our community shows up, and the more people that shows up, the more business can accept where we are today.
Well put. Really well put. Yeah, really well put. Let's talk. Can we talk a little bit about Can we talk about, Brittany, about what we're doing on Monday? The Columbia part, is that a public thing?
Monday? Oh, next Monday. Yes.
Yeah, next Monday. Yeah. Can we talk about it?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Is it open to the public?
It is not open to the public. It is a private event. It is a seated private event. And I believe we're almost at capacity. Wow. So amazing, guys.
How many seats?
Everyone really showed up. It was 70. It is 70 seats. I think we have like four left. But there's a standing room because it is at the Pulitzer Hall, which is, you know, where they give out the Pulitzer Prize. And there are standing spaces. The capacity, I believe, is 120. So we have room. Saigon Social is providing food. It is going to be a great event.
Mm. Why did you decide to put that event on in addition to the screening in the evening?
I decided to do that because I wanted to make sure that we optimize the make use of Dujon's time, but also to bring the community together in a way that allows for two things. Number one is visibility to the film and fundraising and investment. But number two, to get to know the Vietnamese community on the East Coast. So that way, when we are planning for the distribution of summer school and more films, that we have a community that we can tap into. And we wanted to make sure that that community, that we're not just tapping into, but that we are a part of. And I think that's the important part. You know, you don't want to go somewhere and say like, hey, I want to meet all these people because I want to make sure that we in the future could market to them. It's more so who can we partner with, who can we work with, who can we connect with that feels authentic to what we do. That's when people show up. Yeah, so that's why we wanted to do this. And really just to have fun. I think the most important thing in doing all of this, business is good and all, but at the end of the day, like, are we having fun? I think that's the most important thing. And that's why the after party or the pre-party with dance and music.
Also, I wanted to add, I'm so glad that it's going to be at Columbia University because they have the Vietnamese studies right now, which I'm so happy that it's happening, that people, you know, have the chance to learn about Vietnam and the history and the language and the culture. Because I don't know, my American friends told me that when they learned about Vietnam in high school, or specifically the Vietnam American War, it was just a very like, not a brief mentioning, but they didn't really go in depth with that. Yeah. And despite that, it's such a big part of American history, and it's so important to know more about. So I'm so glad that Columbia have, you know, this initiative.
Yeah, for sure. Hien, I had a question for you. I listened to your episode on Ken's podcast, and you talked about the Vui Va Fest. That sounds so fun. And you put that together in such a short period of time. What was that all like, and like, who showed up, and are you going to do it again?
We're going to do it again, apparently, in April. Actually, we're going to have a meeting on Sunday with my friends to talk about our next event. So we threw three events so far. And the reason why we keep going, because the community really wants it. Like, literally, our friends are like, when is the next Vui Va? So the first event, it was a full house. It was like 215 people showing up in Bushwick. You know, like, Vietnamese communities are like not really in Bushwick typically, but it brought together a really nice, like a really niche community. And it was just so much fun. Like, we had Vietnamese food, Vietnamese music and comedy. Like, my co-founder, Leo Nguyen is a really, really wonderful stand-up. He's doing stand-up comedy. And the event after that was a Lunar New Year event, which was also really nice. And our last event was in 2024, which was a Gaza benefit market. And we got to invite a bunch of Palestinian vendors, artists, and like food makers, and we also had like Vietnamese people, so that was also a really nice collaboration. And yeah, that's my favorite part of doing Vui Vẻ, is that I get to meet so many different people from the Vietnamese diaspora, including the Viet Americans, the mainlander Vietnamese, and just Vietnamese like everywhere.
That's amazing.
Can
we meet one in LA.
I know. I was just going to say, Brittany, can I ask permission to do a similar thing, but I call it Vui Vẻt, as in.
Actually, this is so Vietnamese of you to copy and then just switch one letter.
Really? You know, I'm honoring two of our dear friends, Hien and Chef Nguyen Bui. We have a chef friend who did a whole food series called Bui Vẻt. You know, his last name is Bui. Mm. So it's a play on words. I would call it Vui Vẻt because it's a smaller event of Vui Vẻ, but honoring my chef friend, you know, that's how my brain works.
No, actually, Leo and I did talk about that. Our dream is to do a West Coast tour and then broader, maybe like in Europe, because we have some European, smaller Vietnamese like collectives, such as like in Hungary, you know, we have the Lunar Space. Our friends are doing it. I think that they reach out to you, Dusan, if they want to like, you know, see the film as well. And yeah, that's what is cool about the Vietnamese diaspora, that we are so global. So we just have each other everywhere around the world.
It's amazing.
Yes, and you can just always tap in and someone will know someone, and then it happens.
It's amazing.
I think that you should do in a Vui Vẻ fest in LA, not Vui Vẻt. I see where you're going, Ken, but I think you should do a Vui Vẻ fest. And if you are, you have a whole community here that would love to support you.
Yay. Yeah. We would love to do that.
Quick question. Is Leo coming to our event?
Actually, I'm not sure if he'll be able to make it. I'm going to ask. I know that he's going to be here on Sunday because he has an event here. I'll ask. But our next Vui Vẻ Fest event is going to be in April. It's going to be a Wiener House party. If y'all happen to be in New York, of course, you're invited.
That's amazing. When is that? What is the date on that one?
We actually don't have it locked yet, but we're going to have the meeting on Sunday to figure out.
They just invited us to the meeting, Brittany. They want us to be at the meeting.
Sunday. Right. That's right. That's right.
On Sunday afternoon. They want us to be at that meeting. We get it. We understand him.
We want to involve more people into Vui Vẻ Fest. Like, we want this to be really a community thing. So we're trying to have like more people, anybody who wants to like plan and organize, to have them on board, and any ideas are welcome. So, you know, if we come to the West Coast and y'all want to come like do something with us, like, we're so open.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge there, you know. And have you been here? And I remember from your episode, you were supposed to go to LA, right? Or you had intentions to go to LA after Boston, but then you decided to stay in New York.
Yes, because I got the first work opportunity in New York and I ended up being here. But I've been to LA and I've been to Orange County too. Like, I've been to Little Saigon, and it was one of the best days of my life, literally. Like, I had so much good food. I had the snails and the che. And you know, like, the Viet American food is a little bit slightly different than the Vietnamese food. And I love that. I'm a big fan. Like, I went to karaoke. We sang like a bunch of bolero. It was a dream.
That's amazing.
It's always the food, man.
Always the food. We do have a pretty, not as big as Orange County, and we're not too far, right? From Orange County, we're about an hour away, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour in traffic, like 2 hours. But there is a pretty healthy size of Vietnamese Americans, especially Vietnamese Americans in entertainment, creative, film, et cetera, here in LA. And so I think a festival like yours, especially with comedy, food, culture, like, that would do so well here.
Yeah, we probably are the biggest Vietnamese entertainment community outside of Vietnam. And in fact,
of course, I mean, Paris by Night, come on.
Paris by Night.
Everybody grew up on Paris by Night. Paris by Night was like, that's the Vietnamese Bollywood.
Yeah. And the Vietnamese film directors come the early days, you know, Charlie, Ham Tran, Victor Vu, a lot of the veterans out of the visual effects, like my brother, come from LA's Hollywood area, and then they come. Tim Bui, Tony Bui, all made movies in Vietnam in the early days and helped build the Vietnamese film industry. Very proud to know that our brothers and sisters like Jenny Trang Le helped build the Vietnamese film industry to where it is today. It's a huge legacy coming out of LA.
And you two are meeting two legacies as well with mm-hmm. Dustin Nguyen. I don't know if you were familiar being from Europe of Dustin Nguyen, but he...
I've seen him in some movies, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. He went back to Vietnam, did a ton of films, mm-hmm. and then came back and doing a lot of stuff too. And then, of course, Tony Bui, who is a filmmaker. I wish we could have had him. Why didn't we have him on this call?
Because we forgot. He's
probably teaching.
I forgot. Dang. Sorry, Tony. He would have been great on this call. He's hilarious, but
I think it's very difficult to do a lot of people on a single call. Mm-hmm. And Tony is very shy. He's been on podcasts before, but he's shy and he's super busy because he's actually preparing to come to LA for the Oscars.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's going to the Oscars. Yeah. He's going to the Governor's Ball, which is happening, I think, before the Oscars. And then he'll be in attendance at the Oscars. So it's a very special weekend for him. And then he's hopping on a flight at 1 a.m. on Sunday night to be with us in New York on that Monday.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, he's gonna land and jump right into the conversation with you all.
You know, we're heading towards the end of our episode here. And I want to ask everybody what 2026, what is the evolution of your work? Mm. What is the evolution of the projects that you all have in store? I want to hear about it.
Should I start?
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm actually finishing off my album and I'm trying to release that. This year, and hopefully tour with it and have live performances from that material. So that's my current big plan. I think that's it.
Yeah,
looking forward to that.
I can't wait to hear your album. Is this going to be your first album, full album, or?
So honestly, I released albums before in my teenager years, but it was completely different type of music. So I think that ever since I really found my sound and I started to produce my own music, it is my first album that, you know, I'm also a producer and writer. So yeah, I'm excited to do that. But honestly, the reason why I really want to release it ASAP because I want to move on to the next thing I'm doing and talking about 2027. What I'm trying to work on is that I managed to bring my grandfather's cassette tapes from Vietnam to New York. It's 15 really, really old cassette tapes. Some of them were too old to be restored, but I was able to digitize these material. And you know, my grandfather was a pilot musician. He played a guitar, a violin, and a bunch of Vietnamese traditional instruments. And basically on these cassettes, it's all of his improvisations, and also he recorded his favorite radio shows like Kailung pieces and shows. So I would love to sit with this material and resample that in my own music. So I think that after I release this next album, I want to dedicate a whole album made from my grandfather's cassette.
That is amazing.
Incredible.
It's incredible.
And if I can ask, number one, what are their names, especially if they are musicians from Vietnam? And number two, are they still around?
No, they passed away. My grandfather's name is Chan Tung Tu. And my grandmother's name is Nam. They actually met in the Cai Lương Theater and they fell in love there. So my grandmother used to be a singer actress, Cai Lương actress and singer in Hanoi. And then my grandfather grew up in Bac Liêu and did Cai Lương in Saigon as well. But then I think he moved to Hanoi, I think because of the wife, his wife, my grandmother. So they, you know, they ended up in Hanoi, and my mom was born in Hanoi already.
I just wanted two comments to add to this. Number one, have you watched Ivan, the documentary made by Quaha? You know, Ivan the composer?
Ivan? What's
I just heard about that. I just heard about that dog.
Ivan is the name of, he's like a prolific, he wrote so many of the songs that you know, that you hear, like Long Ma or all of these beautiful songs. His daughter is probably your age, Hin, and she put together this beautiful documentary called Ivan. And, you know, it's out there.
It's,
but
it's very, like Y-V-A-N.
And it's very similar to your story with your grandfather and grandmother.
I need to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just see it. And you can hit him up on Instagram, Kwa Ha. She always says, I have a man's name. So she brought it up. But Kwa, K-H-O-A. I say that because not to confuse you when you think about, oh my God, Kwa is a guy, but it's actually a woman, a director. Kwa Ha. Look her up, message her. I think it's important that both of you make that connection. The other thing that I really would encourage is for you to have a conversation with the DJ named DJ Demon Slayer. His name is Dan.
I know him. I mean, I haven't met him, but he was going to do an event in New York and he wanted me to perform, but then that event didn't happen.
Right.
But I know he did a lot of research on New Wave.
Exactly.
And it's amazing. Yeah.
And sampling with Ge Lung, if you guys collaborate, I would love to hear, because Demon Slayer is the brilliant mind. And I can't imagine, like, you know, collaborating on a track or two with that kind of Ge Lung sampling. That would be mind blowing. That'd be amazing. I would look forward to that. And also your sampling, whatever you do with your vocals and your grandparents would be absolutely fantastic. Brittany, you're next.
Oh, okay. Well, 2026 for Citrus. We fully kind of started the business this year. Because last year was like, hey, can we make this work? And we're like, okay, we can do this. We can make this work. So Citrus was established this year, not too long ago. And my goal for the year is to distribute the film, not only theatrically, but also streaming and the whole nine. Develop that playbook for releases, starting with Dujon's film, and hopefully acquire more Southeast Asian and diaspora films to bring it to the States, both North America, both Canada and the US. And through theatrical distribution, really have people come out to the cinema to watch the movies. I think that's the most important part, because tying that all back to me and why that is important is because the whole business started because I just want my mom to be able to come to the cinemas with me and not have to translate. And her name is Squid, which means tangerine or a clementine. And that's why it's citrus.
It's a cute.
It's a dedication to my mom. And I want to make sure that our elders, our families, our parents are able to go to the movies to watch our films. And so 2026 onward is to do that.
What a cool story. I didn't know that.
Wow. I'm glad that I heard this story. Okay, so me, for 2026, we just learned that we got funded a new project. Wow, man.
The animation one?
No. I have like three projects running like simultaneously. But because, if you are a director and it takes you 8 years to make a film, you better make like at least three at the same time. So this project is called Journey to the West. And it's, the story of the first Vietnamese who came to Europe. So it starts in 1950s. And a funny story. 100 children after Indochina War came to Czechoslovakia, and they were the first Vietnamese who came to, to Czechoslovakia. So it's like this anthology series. So each episode is different, like a story from different time. So it's 1950s, 1960s, 70s, 80s. And, the reason I am making this is it's also connected to my parents, because I wanted them to, to see their own journey on TV so that they could get you know, be entertained because they only watch social media, and I think they could watch, you know, some TV show. And we are collecting interviews with, you know, with the people who actually remember the time. And, you know, it's going to be hard to get funded like 100%, but we are in development stage right now. So I will be writing a lot of scripts now.
That's so exciting.
That's so exciting and really cool. And that reminds me of your project, Ken, and what you're doing with the Story Bank, the interviews with our elders, which is also really incredible. I don't want to tell your piece and your story of what you're looking to do for 2026, but it made me think about that. How special.
Thank you. In 2026, I am actually expanding beyond the Vietnamese. So anybody tangentially related, so African-Americans I've had on the podcast, Tony Award-winning people who are outside of the community, but who have like roots within the Vietnamese community. We have a Congresswoman Judy Chu in California that will be coming on. And, you know, so people like that, I'm expanding it out to hear more of like legislation that they have with like deported people going to Vietnam or Cambodia. So expanding the podcast in that way and just making sure that the Vietnamese podcast is a hub for mainstream Asian America as it relates to the Vietnamese community. So that's sort of like the direction. And obviously I'm going to always keep Vietnamese people consistently back on the podcast. I mean, that's my bread and butter, is my love for Vietnamese people. And I am so happy that we knocked this podcast out today. It was very last minute. And all three of you are such wonderful speakers. You know, you guys are such articulate and so easy to do something like this, which is normally very hard to do a podcast with three guests, but it was seamless, you know? So thank you all so much for being on today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken, for having us. And we'll all be in New York soon, so...
Party soon, man.
Party soon. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Crystal Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.